This sound file contains the spoken version of the Wikipedia article on the Guinea-Bissau War of Independence. The material was recorded on December 12, 2017. Guinea-Bissau War of Independence, from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia at en.wikipedia.org. The Guinea-Bissau War of Independence was an armed independence conflict that took place in Portuguese Guinea between 1963 and 1974. The war ended when Portugal, after the Carnation Revolution of 1974, granted independence to Guinea-Bissau, followed by Cape Verde a year later. Section 1. Background. Portuguese Guinea, as well as nearby Cape Verde Archipelago, had been claimed by Portugal since 1446 and was a major trading post for commodities and African slaves during the 18th century, before the former had been outlawed by the Portuguese authorities. The interior was, however, not fully controlled by the Portuguese until the latter half of the 19th century. Sporadic fighting continued during the early 20th century, and the Bisagos Islands were not pacified under Portuguese rule until 1936. The Portuguese Guinea was dependent from the government of Cape Verde until 1887, when it gained the status of a separate overseas province of Portugal. In 1892, it received the status of autonomous district, becoming again a province in 1896. In the beginning of the 20th century, the Portuguese Guinea started to be referred to as, quote, colony, unquote, despite still having the generic status of overseas province. With the effectiveness of the Portuguese Colonial Act of 1930, the designation, quote, colony, unquote, fully replaced that of, quote, province, unquote. In 1952, by a constitutional amendment, Portuguese Guinea became again referred as an overseas province, losing the status of, quote, colony, unquote. While there had always been local resistance, it was not until 1956 the first liberation movement was founded by Amilcar Cabral and Rafael Barbosa, the African Party for the Independence of Guinea and Cape Verde, or the PAIGC. The first major activity of the PAIGC was a strike by dock workers in Bissau on August 3, 1959. The colonial police violently repressed the strike and more than 50 people died. This incident became known as the Pijiguti Massacre. The massacre led to a major upswing of popular support for the PAIGC. By 1960, it was decided to move headquarters to Conakry, a neighboring Republic of Guinea, formerly French Guinea, in order to prepare for an armed struggle. On April 18, 1961, PAIGC, together with Frelimo of Mozambique, MPLA of Angola, and MLSTP of São Tomé and Príncipe, formed the Conference of Nationalist Organizations of the Portuguese Colonies, or CONCP, during a conference in Morocco. The main goal of the organization was cooperation of the different national liberation movement in Portuguese colonies. Section 2. Portuguese Overseas Armed Forces and the PAIGC. The war in Guinea has been termed, quote, Portugal's Vietnam, unquote. The main indigenous revolutionary insurgent movement, the Marxist African Party for the Independence of Guinea and Cape Verde, or PAIGC, was well-trained, well-led, and equipped and received substantial support from safe havens in neighboring countries like Senegal and Guinea-Conakry. The jungles of Guinea and the proximity of the PAIGC's allies near the border proved to be a significant advantage in providing tactical superiority during cross-border attacks and resupply missions for the guerrillas. Open hostilities broke out in January 1963 when guerrillas from the PAIGC attacked the Portuguese garrison in Tete near the Corobal River, south of Bissau, the capital of Portuguese Guinea. Similar guerrilla actions quickly spread across the colony, mainly in the south. In 1965, the war spread to the eastern part of the country. That same year, the PAIGC expanded its attacks in the northern area of the country, where at the time only the Front for the Liberation and Independence of Guinea, or the FLING, a minor insurgent force, was operating. By this time, the PAIGC, led by Amilcar Cabral, began openly receiving military support from the Soviet Union, China, and Cuba. The success of PAIGC guerrilla operations forced the Exército Português do Ultramar, or the Portuguese Overseas Armed Forces, deployed in Portuguese Guinea, on the defensive at an early stage. The latter were forced to limit their response to defending territories and cities already held. Unlike Portugal's other African territories, Successful small-unit Portuguese counterinsurgency tactics were slow to evolve in Guinea. Defensive operations, where soldiers were dispersed in small numbers to guard critical buildings, farms, or infrastructure, were particularly devastating to the regular Portuguese infantry, who became vulnerable to guerrilla attacks outside of populated areas by the forces of the PAIGC. They were also demoralized by the steady growth of PAIGC liberation sympathizers and recruits among the rural population. In a relatively short time, the PAIGC had succeeded in reducing Portuguese military and administrative control of the country to a relatively small area of Guinea. The scale of this success can be seen in the fact that native Guineans in the, quote, liberated territories, unquote, ceased payment of debts to Portuguese landowners, as well as payment of taxes to the colonial administration. The branch stores of the Compañía União Fabril, or the CUF, Mario Lima Wenon and Manuel Pinto Brandao companies were seized and inventoried by the PAIGC in the areas they controlled, while the use of Portuguese currency in the areas under guerrilla control was banned. In order to maintain the economy in the liberated territories, the PAIGC was impelled at an early stage to establish its own Marxist administrative and governmental bureaucracy, which organized agricultural production, educated farm workers on protecting crops from destruction from government attacks, and opened collective armazéns do povo, or people's stores, to supply urgently needed tools and supplies in exchange for agricultural produce. By 1967, the PAIGC had carried out 147 attacks on Portuguese barracks and army encampments and effectively controlled two-thirds of Portuguese Guinea. The next year, Portugal began a new campaign against the guerrillas with the arrival of the new governor of the colony, General Antonio de Spinola. General Spinola instituted a series of civil and military reforms, intended to first contain and then roll back the PAIGC and its control of much of the rural portion of Portuguese Guinea. This included a, quote, hearts and minds, unquote, propaganda campaign designed to win the trust of the indigenous population, an effort to eliminate some of the discriminatory practices against native Guineans, a massive construction campaign for public works, including new schools, hospitals, improved telecommunications and road networks, and a large increase in recruitment of native Guineans into the Portuguese armed forces serving in Guinea as part of an Africanization strategy. Africanization of the conflict. Until 1960, Portuguese military forces serving in Guinea were composed of units led by white officers with commissioned soldiers, whites, overseas soldiers, African assimilados, and native or indigenous Africans, indigenato, serving in the enlisted ranks. These discriminatory color bars to service were eliminated as part of the Africanization policy of General Spinola, which called for the integration of indigenous Guinea Africans into Portuguese military forces in Africa. Two special indigenous African counterinsurgency detachments were formed by the Portuguese armed forces. The first of these was the African Commandos, consisting of a battalion of commandos composed entirely of black soldiers, including the officers. The second was the African Special Marines, marine units entirely composed of black soldiers. The African Special Marines supplemented other Portuguese elite units conducting amphibious operations in the riverine areas of Guinea in an attempt to interdict and destroy guerrilla forces and supplies. General Spinola's Africanization policy also fostered a large increase in indigenous recruitment into the armed forces, culminating in the establishment of all-black military formations, such as the Black Militias, commanded by Major Carlos Fabio. By the early 1970s, an increasing percentage of Guineans were serving as non-commissioned or commissioned officers in Portuguese military forces in Africa, including higher-ranking officers as Captain, later Lieutenant Colonel Marcelino da Mata, a black Portuguese citizen born of Guinean parents who rose from a first sergeant in a road engineering unit to commander in the Comandos Africanos. Tactical changes. Military tactical reforms by Portuguese commanders included new naval amphibious operations to overcome some of the mobility problems inherent in the underdeveloped and marshy areas of the country. These new operations utilized destacamentos de fusileros espaciais, or special marine assault detachments, as strike forces. The fusileros espaciais were lightly equipped with folding stock 961 G3 rifles, 37mm rocket launchers, and light machine guns such as the Heckler & Koch HK-21 to enhance their mobility in the difficult, swampy terrain. Between 1968 and 1972, the Portuguese forces increased their offensive posture in the form of raids into PAIGC-controlled territory. At this time, Portuguese forces also adopted unorthodox means of countering the insurgents, including attacks on the political structure of the nationalist movement. This strategy culminated in the assassination of Amilcar Cabral in January 1973. Nonetheless, the PAIGC continued to increase its strength and began to heavily press Portuguese defense forces. In 1970, the Portuguese Air Force began to use similar weapons to those the U.S. was using in the Vietnam War, napalm and defoilants, in order to find the insurgents or at least deny them the cover and concealment needed for rebel ambushes. In an effort to hamper assistance to the PAIGC from the neighboring Republic of Guinea, Portugal commenced Operação Mar Verde, or Operation Green Sea, on November 22, 1970, in an attempt to overthrow Ahmed Sekou Touré, the leader of the Republic of Guinea and staunch PAIGC ally, and cut off supply lines to PAIGC insurgents. The operation involved a daring raid on Conakry, a PAIGC safe haven, in which 220 Portuguese fusileiros and 200 Guinean anti-Ahmed Sekou Touré insurgents attacked the city. The attempted coup d'etat failed, though the Portuguese managed to destroy several PAIGC ships and Air Force assets and freed all the 26 Portuguese POWs. One immediate result of Operation Green Sea was an escalation in the conflict, with countries such as Algeria and Nigeria now offering support to the PAIGC, as well as the Soviet Union, which sent warships to the region, known by NATO as the West Africa Patrol, in a show of force calculated to deter future Portuguese amphibious attacks on the territory of the Republic of Guinea. The United Nations passed several resolutions condemning all the Portuguese cross-border attacks in Guinea, like the United Nations Security Council Resolution 290 and United Nations Security Council Resolution 295. In general, the PAIGC in Guinea was the best armed, trained, and led of all the guerrilla movements. After 1968, PAIGC forces were increasingly armed with modern Soviet weapons and equipment, most notably SA-7 rocket launchers, radar-controlled anti-aircraft cannon, and even jet aircraft in the form of several Ilyushin IL-14 bombers. These weapons effectively undermined Portuguese air superiority, preventing the destruction by air of PAIGC encampments in territory it controlled. By 1970, the PAIGC even had candidates training in the Soviet Union, learning to fly MiGs and to operate Soviet-supplied amphibious assault crafts and APCs. Assassination of Amilcar Cabral. As part of the efforts to undermine the organizational structure of PAIGC, Portugal had tried to capture Amilcar Cabral for several years. After failure of capturing him in 1970, the Portuguese started using agents within the PAIGC to remove Cabral. Together with a disgruntled former associate, agents assassinated Amilcar Cabral on January 20, 1973, in Conakry, Guinea. The assassination happened less than 15 months before end of hostilities. Section 3. End of Portuguese rule in Guinea. On April 25, 1974, the Carnation Revolution, a left-wing military-led revolution, broke out in Portugal, ending the authoritarian dictatorship of Estado Novo. The new regime quickly ordered ceasefire and began negotiating with leaders of the PAIGC. On August 26, 1974, after a series of diplomatic meetings, Portugal and the PAIGC signed an accord in Algiers, Algeria, in which Portugal agreed to remove all troops by the end of October and to officially recognize the Republic of Guinea-Bissau government controlled by the PAIGC. Independence and reprisals. Portugal granted full independence to Guinea-Bissau on September 10, 1974, after 11 and a half years of armed conflict. With the coming of independence, the PAIGC moved swiftly to extend its control throughout the country. The PAIGC had already unilaterally proclaimed the country's independence a year before in the village of Medina do Boa, an event that had been recognized by many socialist and non-aligned member states of the United Nations. A one-party state, controlled by the PAIGC, headed by Luis Cabral, half-brother of Amilcar Cabral, was established. Being given the choice of either to go back home with their families and belongings and full payment till the end of December that year, or to join the PAIGC military, a total of 7,447 black African soldiers who had served in the Portuguese native commando units, security forces, and the armed militia, decided not to join the new ruling party and were summarily executed by the PAIGC after Portuguese forces ceased hostilities. This sound file and all text in the article are licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 unported license, available at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by-sa/3.0.